In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning to you. And before we launch into the homily on the gospel lesson this morning, I would like to highlight one of the saints that we commemorate on this day. Her husband, Nikolai Michael, was the village postmaster and the manager of the general store. It was like the local postman of a, I don't know how big Queflick is, maybe 150 people, 200 people. He married a young lady who later became the saint that we are commemorating today, Holy Matushka Olga of Alaska. Think about that. The postman was ordained a priest and then elevated an archpriest. Why? You know, we think about St. Peter. He was a fisherman. His hands smelled. His clothes smelled. It was a messy trade. Get your clothes all bloody with scales and everything. God called him. And the majority of the 12 apostles were fishermen. So when the Lord calls, we don't know who he's going to call. He called this man, and this man married this young lady. She was February 3rd, 1916. She served her community not only as the priest's wife, but also as a midwife. Matushka Olga, Matushka is the Russian word for the priest's wife. Matushka Olga gave birth to 13 children, herself of which 8 survived and were raised by her. Has anyone lost a child? Has anybody lost 5 children? She lost 5 children. Imagine what that does to a person's heart. One's enough. 5's way too many. 1's too many. But somehow the Lord drove this depth into her heart. Many of the children to whom she gave birth were without the aid of a midwife on her own. Wow. So she did it, gave birth herself without any help. Matushka Olga was known for empathy and caring for those who had suffered abuse of all kinds, especially sexual abuse. And while her family was poor, she gave generously to those who were poorer, often in giving away her children's clothes to the needy. She sewed and made all of the clothes for her kids. Gave them away, made more. This is, just put this in your mind. This is a small Native American woman. She was also known for her ability to tell when a woman was pregnant even before the woman had missed her period. Whoa. When Matushka Olga reposed on November 8, 1979, many people from miles around wanted to come to her funeral, but since it was November and the winter weather made it impossible, But on the day of her funeral, a wind from the south brought warm weather and thawing the ice and snow to make the trek to Quetzaltenango possible. And when the mourners exited the church to take her body to the graveyard, a flock of birds followed them. And those who dug the grave found the ground also had thawed, and they were able to dig the grave. And the evening after her funeral, the normal harsh weather resumed. But the earth and the birds and the winds and the waves made it possible for people to come. Yeah, have you even heard of Quetzaltenango before? I never heard of Quetzaltenango. You know, I barely heard of McAlester, Oklahoma, you know. So what's Quetzaltenango? You know, who's this lady? Big deal. Well, I guess it is a big deal. God made her a saint and gave her to us. So we need to get to know her. There are many stories of miracles and intercessions in our life. I'd only like to read a couple of them. A woman, a survivor of child abuse, saw Matushka Olga in a dream, not as a distant figure, but as a mother and a midwife who labored with her soul. And in this dream, St. Olga embraced her, anointed her, gently removed the pain that had festered for decades. What pain? Inside pain. Inside pain. The woman awoke healed from her spiritual torment, no longer afraid of love, and no longer ashamed. People who are abused by sexual abuse, they feel ashamed. Why? They didn't do it, but they feel ashamed. The devil makes them feel ashamed. And Mother Olga healed this from this young lady. Survivor from clerical abuse. Yes, priests do this too. The survival of clerical abuse shared a similar vision. St. Olga appeared silently, offering no condemnation, but only a pure maternal compassion, restoring the woman's faith and helping her begin again. How many people who suffer clerical abuse depart from their Christian faith altogether? St. Olga grabbed her and kept her. A priest during his daughter's difficult labor witnessed Matushka Olga standing beside them. This is after her decease. The pain ceased and the child was born in peace. A couple devastated by repeated miscarriages conceived and carried a healthy child to term after entrusting their sorrows to the prayers of Holy Matushka. A woman grieving on Christmas saw St. Olga seated beside Christ at a riverside, full of silent love. And she awoke, comforted. How many people grieve at Christmas? It's all supposed to be joy to the world, right? It isn't for everybody. Because their families have been torn apart. And Christmas is a sad, sad day. And she came to her. and comforted her on Christmas Day. Another woman plagued by traumatic nightmares saw serpents tormenting her until in her dream a woman appeared and they fled away. When shown a picture of Saint Olga afterwards, she recognized that's who was in my dream. That's who came and drove them away. And she had never seen her before, never seen that picture before. Believe me, I could go on and on. But I think she's a special person for America. And that we need to get to know her. I believe she wants to get to know us and help us. The homily this morning, you didn't know it was going to be this long, did you? Homily this morning is about those who ridicule Christ. All were weeping and bewailing the young girl, but Jesus said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. The ignorant ridicule Christ when they hear the divine truth. Not simply that they're ignorant people or uneducated people, but they don't understand who Jesus Christ really is, the Son of God. They're ignorant of that fact. We might review when this miracle took place. It took place after Jesus calmed the sea. It took place after he had cast out a legion of demons from the Gadarene demoniac. He had shown his lordship over the power of nature, over the power of demons, and now he shows his lordship over the power of death. St. Nikolai of Zycha says this, "It is hard to say which of these three great works is more fearsome, glorious, ineffable. Which is harder, to still the tumultuous elements of the water and the air, to heal an unhealable madman, or to raise the dead? All three are equally difficult for a mortal and sinful man, and all three are equally easy to Christ the Lord. When a man penetrates deeply into each of these three miracles, he feels with trembling of soul the greatness of the Almighty breath that in the beginning created the world, and God said, and it was so." He breathed into each of us the breath of life. At that time there came to Jesus a man named Cyrus, who was ruler of the synagogue. Falling at Jesus' feet, he besought him to come to his house. How many other rulers of the synagogue were inviting Jesus to their house? Zero. None. They hated him. Jairus didn't hate him. He besought him to come to the house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years age, and she was dying. And even in the Gospel of Matthew, it quotes Jairus as saying, "My daughter is even now dead. But come and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live." And in the story, the crowds are pressing around as he makes his way towards Jairus' house. And Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And when everybody denied it, Peter said, Master, the multitudes surround thee and press thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? I mean, dare we say that St. Peter was being a little bit sarcastic with Jesus? It's like, who didn't touch you? You're asking, who touched me? He says, I felt power go out. That's the one I want to know who it is. I felt power go out when someone touched me. Who was that? And she was healed just by touching the hem of his garment. The Lord wanted to strengthen Jairus' faith. He wanted Jesus to come, but can he raise a dead, my daughter who's dead? Can he do that? Jesus wanted to strengthen his faith, to show that he could heal not only by his hands or by his voice, but also by his clothing that he could heal. Remember the shadows of the apostles in the book of Acts? Where the shadows of the apostles healed people. The apron and the handkerchief of St. Paul healed people. The cincture, the belt of the Most Holy Theotokos, the Mother of God, the Virgin Mary, her belt healed people. And so we have secondary relics as well as the bone relics in the church. We have secondary relics that are associated with the holy men and women of the church. This verse, all were weeping and bewailing her, and Jesus said, do not weep, for she is not sleeping. She is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. They laughed, they ridiculed, and in so doing, proved that the girl was really dead. So this was no smoke and mirrors. This was no hocus pocus. They proved she was dead because they were laughing and ridiculing him. People say, in our day, things that are ridiculous, they ridicule Christ. Born of a virgin? You believe this man was born of a virgin? Come on, give me a break. Third day, rose again? Yeah, sure, that's a good way to start a movement. You know, put out this word that he raised from the dead. Who's going to believe that? Send it into heaven? On what? Some kind of a jetpack? He shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. I'm not going to worry about it. We hear this kind of ridicule, do we not? It's complete disbelief. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of who he really is, the Son of God, God Almighty. In his homily on this verse, our God shall come and not keep silent. St. Nikolai of Zycha says this, Brethren, God appeared to the world in the body of a man. He appeared as a commander, as a teacher, as a physician. But he has not yet appeared as the judge. In the first instance, he chose to remain silent and not to openly express his greatest dignity, but rather he left his enemies, his pupils, his patients, to make their own judgments about him from what they knew. Those who had sound judgment would know him as God in the flesh, by the evidence of his words, by his deeds, by his love for mankind, and by the heavenly signs at his birth, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension. However, those whose minds were darkened by evil passion would not recognize him or acknowledge him as God. Darkened by what? Evil passions. This causes a darkening of the mind. But when he comes as judge, no one will ask, "Art thou he? Who art thou?" Because everyone will know, without a doubt, who he is. And the angels will blow their trumpets before him. His cross will shine in the heavens before him. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. Then both the believers and the unbelievers, the righteous and the unrighteous, will recognize the judge. Then only they who recognized him beforehand as God in the cave and on the cross will rejoice. Truly they will rejoice, for they shall recognize in the judge him for whom they waged war. What kind of war? Spiritual war against the demons. Him from whom they learned, and him by whom they were healed. So today, we remember this young girl who suffered an untimely death. There may be families in our midst who have suffered the untimely deaths of children. And it leaves this gaping hole in their loins, in their gut, when this happens. Such was the state of the loins of this ruler, Jairus, who came to Jesus for hope in the resurrection. So let us proclaim our hope in the resurrection from the dead. On this day, the resurrection of those we love but see no longer, and of our own resurrection on the last day, that great day of the Lord, when we appear before Him as judge. Otherwise, we're no different than those who ridicule Christ when they hear the divine truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, our God, we proclaim our hope in the resurrection from the dead, the resurrection of those we love but see no longer, and of our own resurrection on the last and great day when we will appear before Thee as judge. Help us to proclaim this truth to those who do not know or who challenge our faith in Thee. For Thy name is holy, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.